I've got no intro. It's the news, according to me. I have nothing to say. I don't know what to say. What happened to me this morning? Hey, it's Wishy Washy Wednesday. I'm wishy washy, apparently. It's August 12th, 2026. 7:46 a.m. in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. The daylight savings time thing happening. Whatever happened to that? Anyway, I don't know. I can't remember if it. I remember there's some legislation being passed. My understanding is when next time we go back to regular time at the end of this whole crazy, whatever they want to call it, when we get done with this fall back, I guess, when we do it this fall. My understanding is it's going to stay that way then. Is that what happens? I don't know. I don't think we're going to keep it at daylight savings time all the time. My understanding is that the clocks are going to be locked this fall when we fall back. So when we go back, like right now, would be 6:47 a.m. in the morning. So it would be, and then everything's going to stay that way. Not going to change back and forth every 6 months to whatever. The whole daylight savings time thing is going away. My understanding is that's, I don't think we're going to lock it into daylight. I don't think we're going to lock it into this time. I don't know for sure. Maybe somebody can tell me. By the way, we do have a Facebook page. If you look at the description, it should be in the description of the show. If you get it from Podbean or wherever you get it from, it should be in the description of the show. If you get it on Apple thing, I think there's a way to find the description of the show. Within that content, not just the header, it's down in the description. You'll find the Facebook page. I have not even been to the Facebook page for a long time. I don't even know. The shows are supposed to be getting posted on the Facebook page. I don't know if they are or not. But you would be able to make comments on there. And I won't read them unless I happen to do that today. I might just have to start doing that because I've got to start being a little more proactive with my social media stuff. That's something I want to get organized. And the bots are going to help me do that. I have a... possibility of, look at this team of agents I'm putting together and automate a lot of things. And it's not so much automation, it's augmentation. You augment your, it's kind of an interesting concept. You can't just automate things. You have to augment things. Automation is what gets you there, or what's a part of that. What you're actually doing is augmenting your process. So it's, yeah, you know, you kind of have to define how we're doing things here, I guess, whatever. Anyway, got the bots on today. Got a lot of just wishy-washy, different stuff. I've been listening to some things overnight, last night and this morning, and it's been happening in the news. A couple of big things that happened. I don't know if the bots are going to talk about it or not. I'm going to bring a few things up. I don't have any recording. I did have a couple things I wanted to get captured. That's something else that the bots are going to have to start doing, is capturing some things from some audio clips. See if they can do that kind of thing. I know they can. It's just a matter of whether I can get them set up to do it in an efficient manner, so it's not costing me $1,000 a month in tokens. But I spent $1,000 yesterday at the vet for my dog. His yearly checkup. It used to be $400 a month, or $400 a year. It is now, we got other medicine too. He had some medicine for his ears, and he also got, he got a shot that is supposed to take care of a year's worth of flea and tick stuff instead of buying the flea and tick stuff every 6 months. So it was kind of a yearly investment for some of the things that we get otherwise. And we also moved up his schedule on some of the other things. So we got some medicine for the other dog. So it was not medicine, but just it's like a flea and tick or whatever it is. And then his heartworm thing is, he says it's like a yearly thing for that as well. And now he's on this deal where he gets a shot once a year. And then what it does is he doesn't have to take It doesn't have to get any, heartworm tests anymore every year. Just as long as you stay on the 12-month process, he doesn't get any more of that. Of course, he'll probably, you know, die 5 years early, but, you know, at least he won't get heartworm. I don't know. Who knows? Some of these medications. We'll talk about medication later. I don't know if the bot's going to bring it up or not, but we'll see what happens with that, because there are some things about the Fauci thing. Hopefully they bring it up. I don't know if they will or not. But I'm going to bring it up if they don't. So, and we might have a panel discussion. Stay tuned, because we might have this panel discussion at the end, which is kind of fun. We had one on Monday. I think we'll do it today. I'm trying to figure out how to set up the format for that, just because it can be kind of a discussion that's kind of a, it can be whatever we want it to be, basically. So it's kind of an interesting concept. And I've got to figure out how to add characters and that kind of thing on that whole thing. So we'll see how that works out. But anyway, that being said, as usual, we have some things to play here this morning while we're waiting. It's for your listening enjoyment. I'm going to play this little, I think we're over here on this side now. We're going down the list here. I think we're going to play this one. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the song.
Woke up this morning, got something to say, but before I say it, let me clear the air today. I'm just a person with a microphone and a thought, not a doctor, not a lawyer, and I sure ain't got a lot. These are opinions, just opinions, baby, not advice, not a diagnosis, not a legal brief. If you take my words to court, well, I'm gonna plead not guilty, because I told you this is just for me. I got no license on the wall, no letters after my name. I do my research, sure I do, but it ain't quite the same. Your portfolio, your symptoms, and your contract dispute need someone way more qualified, and that ain't me, boo. For entertainment only, that's the bottom line. Come back and listen, have a laugh, everything's fine. But if something's wrong with your health or your finances too, please, for the love of all things good, don't just ask me what to do.
Yeah, this is, all right, we don't listen to that last time. Maybe I did play this one the last time. I should be on the other one. Sorry about that. I think I played that one yesterday. We'll get it straightened out. By the way, I do have in my cup. I forgot what I was talking about my cup. I have my regular chai with my. Still, I opened up a new. Apparently, my wife, my wonderful wife, went out and bought. She must have heard the show. Went out and bought some Cinnabon creamer. But I did open up another Almond Joy creamer. I'm going to try to alternate now between, once I get this one done, I'll start in on a Cinnabon creamer, and then I'll do another. One more coconut cream creamer after that, and then we'll have another Cinnabon creamer after that. So they'll kind of alternate those into the whole process, and it kind of all makes sense. So I get through this one. It seems like it takes me about 3 or 4 weeks to get through a container, that stuff's probably going to be bad for you. I don't know. It's not real cream, that's for sure. We have, that's what's my cup. I have the last remaining bits of sweet peach tea, and it's on the edge right now. It still tastes good, but I can tell if I went another day, it'd probably start turning funky. So today will be the day I will have to make some more tea. However, we'll have to see if I have time for that. I'm trying to get some other things done. I got a lot of things to get done before I leave tomorrow. I leave tomorrow morning, and got one more trip to do, one more work stint to do, and I have about a month off. And so we're going to be on some vacation time, which is going to make it a little harder to do the show. However, I can still probably get a show in here and there. Most of the time, I'll be able to do the show, but it's just, you know, when I'm traveling, I'm not sure I'll be able to do the show, because we're going to be in the motorhome. Some of the places we go, it's not necessarily the best. how you say, best internet providers. We're actually looking into Starlink, because if we get further into this internet business stuff, we are definitely going to need to have some kind of internet connection everywhere we go, whether on the boat or whatever we're on. So it's kind of one of those things. It's just, you know, most of the time we are in pretty good places, but sometimes we're not. The other option is to get a taller antenna. There's a booster in, it's called a booster antenna. You can put it on your motorhome. It just lifts it up, you know, 20 feet off the top of the motorhome, and you can pick up signals a little further away. However, it's not as efficient. It's not as dependable. Some places you just can't get a signal. If there's no tower, you just can't get a signal. And there's places in some campgrounds. The whole point is you're in a campground someplace, that, you know, away from everything, and they typically just don't have that great. Sometimes they have Wi-Fi. Some of the better campgrounds do, but it's kind of tough. Anyway, who do we start with today? Let's start with Elena. She's the old standby. She's been around for a while, as far as on the show, and because Skip's gone, he might make an appearance here and there. But yeah, we got Elena. She's the historian. Let's see what she has to say this morning. She usually has something interesting to talk about.
Greetings, Kevin.
Yes, hello.
Historian here with a pattern question. We're watching Democratic socialists like Francesca Hong win primaries in swing states like Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
This mirrors the 1968-1972 McGovern Revolution that pulled Democrats hard left and led to Nixon's landslide.
Yeah.
Are we seeing history repeat itself, where the radical wing takes over the party machinery and guarantees Republican victories in purple states?
Well, yeah, the short answer, yes. I think you are seeing this. This is not going to be good for them, and the traditional Democrats understand this. That they, at least the ones who are, you know, the old timers who've been around during that whole process. You have to remember there was, I think, some of these people were actually in the Senate and Congress when McGovern was running. There's still people around. They remember this. If nothing else, they've certainly, you know, were in place shortly after that happened, and they definitely remember it. I remember it as a kid. I'm sure they remember it. They're older than I am, and I'm sure they remember, at least though they lived through it, whether they were in Congress or not. I remember it very well, and I was in grade school when that happened, and when Nixon, I remember Nixon did win a landslide. In fact, he won over a lot of liberals, I would say, what I would call Democrats, traditional Democrats at the time. There was a tremendous number of people that he won over. Now, they all got upset when they found out about the whole cover-up thing, and right before, you know, when all this stuff started breaking about the, you know, the big issue about him, the Watergate event that supposedly Nixon didn't have anything to do with, but he did cover it up. It wasn't the incident itself, it was the cover-up. Now, nowadays, cover-ups are no big deal. But now, this, as far as what you're talking about, yes, we are seeing, you know, in these pockets of areas, these areas where the you know, the leftists, the radical weirdo wackos can win, especially when it's a heated and divided, when you have several candidates running, and then you basically have two parties within the Democrat Party right now. You've got the DSA, and then you've got the regular, you know, Democratic Party, and then you've got the you know, the DNC, and then you've got just the other people who are just traditional Democrats who actually aren't even, I would say, have a hard time relating to either one of those two right now. The DNC and the general party of the Democrat Party, I think, is having a hard time relating to. They're trying to play both ends of this ticket here. They're trying to have a big tent, trying to include the DSA. But the DSA is like a dodo bird. It's coming in, laid its egg, is doing its whole thing, and it's going to, you know, the dodo bird at some point is going to kick everybody else out. When it gets big enough, it's going to kick all the other kids out, and then the mother bird is just going to, that's all that's going to be left. You know, to raise the, of course, then eventually the dodo bird flies off, and the mother, you know, it's just the way they work, and it's so perfect of an example for the way the socialists work. And the way they are is they want somebody else to pay for everything. They want somebody else to raise their kids. You know, so it's kind of a thing that I think is going on, and it doesn't work well in the general. It doesn't work well, and when it goes to a statewide election, or it goes they just don't win, they don't make it. It's just even the Democrats, the typical Democrats that are out in the the outer counties, the areas where they don't have these radical wackos, they do typically tend to lose those people, and they just like Bill Maher and some of these others are saying, if this is where they're going, I'm going to switch my vote. That's how. Now, I think that's a veiled threat. I don't think that they're not going to vote Republican. Don't get me wrong. They're just saying they're going to lose me on the party. James Carville, Bill Maher, how many others? There's been several others who have said they're going to leave the party. And of course, you get people like Bernie Sanders. Oh, that's fine. If he wants to go start his own party, he can start his own party. That's just the party I've been a part of. Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. He's not a part. He caucuses with the Democrat Party. He has been a Democrat socialist for a long time, and he's an independent who caucuses with the Democrats. He's not his party. So he's very disingenuous with that respect. And of course, he's been grooming Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria, Sandy Cortez is her name. That's how she grew up. She says Sandy Cortez. And she all of a sudden became Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, the hip-hop artist. When she became popular. She's seriously thinking about running, by the way. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, that's kind of, the short take is yes. That's my short answer. But go ahead and fill in how you see fit.
You're hitting on something real here.
Mm-hmm.
The McGovern precedent still haunts Democrats.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, those old-timers remember 1972 because it was a bloodbath that reshaped the party for a generation. The difference now is that unlike then, when the left and establishment had to eventually reconcile, today's factions seem genuinely incompatible.
Yeah,
you can't split the difference between democratic socialism and moderate liberalism the way you could negotiate Cold War foreign policy back then.
Yeah.
And you're right that Bernie's been consistent about his independent status while playing coalition politics.
Yeah.
What's changed is that AOC and others are making the DSA in ways that threaten those suburban and rural Democrats you're talking about, the ones who actually decide general elections.
Yeah, and of course, it's always, I don't know where I was going with that. Back in the day, there was a very different story. The Democrats and Republicans were basically working together to get something done. Even after an election, they would still kind of, on the same page. Nowadays, there is such a divisive difference. And it's, in my opinion, the major difference is an ideological one. You have two ideologies. You have two ideologies that are so opposed to each other. They are antithetical to each other. You have individualism and you have collectivism. The two do not compat. You can't put them together. They are, this is what has always bothered me about the Republicans when they say we need to compromise and move to the middle. Who was the guy's name? Bob Dole. Was always talking about, well, we need to work across the aisle. We need to step across the aisle. We need to work with, get something done. This is wishy-washy, mealy-mouth. It's a compromised attitude. It is a give-in mentality. They continue to move that center. And we've talked about this before. I talk about it all the time. How they want you to move to the center, and then the center line moves again. We've moved them this far. Now let's go further off to the left, and we'll move them again to the center because they're trying to work with us. They're trying to play nice, and we're just going to keep moving them along the line as the goalposts change. That's why it has always bothered me that they do that. They continue to cave on their principles and cave on all kinds of things. And I think this is where a lot of the MAGA, differences in the Republican Party, the difference between the MAGA and the traditional Republicans. The traditional Republicans want to just go along to get along. And the that's why Trump won. He's not an establishment guy. Now, he does things I don't like. That's fine. We can have disagreements on certain particular issues. I think there's some core things. But he's a transactional president. He does things based on transactions. He does things based on, you know, he does have some core beliefs, I guess, if you want to call it that. But he's pretty much a transactional guy. Make a deal with him, and he does, you know, wants to do what the country wants. Which blows my mind when it comes to how the media treats him with regard to those kinds of things. But that's kind of beside the point. But I'll give you one more last word here, Eleanor, since you're a pretty reasonable person. Go ahead and throw your 2 cents in there while I take a sip.
You're laying out the real tension. And you're right that the Overton window keeps shifting leftward while Republicans keep chasing it, thinking they're compromising when they're actually just retreating. But here's where I'd push back a little.
Oh,
that individualism versus collectivism framework you're describing is how the parties, not necessarily how they govern. Nixon expanded the EPA, Eisenhower built the interstate system, and Trump's tariffs are pretty collectivist by any honest measure.
No, I'd say that's where I disagree. Collectivism, infrastructure and eminent domain, those kinds of things, though, that is not collectivism. Doing things that Nixon expanded the EPA. I think that's what you said. And of course, Eisenhower built the interstate system. That's not collectivism. Public education, those kinds of things. Collectivism is a very different thing. You still have individuality. You still have representation in the midst of all that, and you have we still have our personal individual rights. And the EPA still has lines to cross. Under the Biden administration, for example. I said I was going to give her the final word, and here I am, you know, making comments. Because this is a common misnomer. Keep in mind, Elena just gets her information from what she, you know, gleans from the internet, whatever happens to be at the top of this piggy pile at the moment. And this is the biggest problem with this understanding of what collectivism. Socialism is not public roads, schools, fire department, police. That's not collectivism. That's not socialism. That is it's a local governmental necessity. It's a very different thing than, I still have the choice to move wherever I want to move. I have a choice to talk to my representatives about changing those things. And this is where the democratic socialists, they get this wrong as well. They all say, well, it's because it's democratic. This isn't communism because it's democratic. Putin is elected. They have elections there. So what's the difference? This is the issue that you get into. This is just how stupid she is. But I don't mince words about that. I don't take that back. She is a genuinely stupid individual. Just much like the lady from Wisconsin, just absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if she steps out of the race just because she has emotional issues. She probably will say, "I because of emotional stress, I'm stepping out." She probably will because she can't handle it. She cannot handle this stuff. It's obvious when she goes to an interview and does something. Now she's saying her favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. She was just saying how much she hates Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden it's her favorite holiday. I don't understand that at all. Not sure how that works, but within a week she's changed on that one, and to hear in her voice, I hear this insecurity in her voice when she tries to answer questions. She's very tired of it. She doesn't want to deal with it. She's trying to run from it. That's what I hear in her voice, so I would not be surprised. Nobody's talked about this, but I'm the first one that's breaking it to you here this morning. I think she's going to drop out. Now the parties behind the scenes that may not allow her to do that, they may say, no, you're going to stay in the race. We're going to work with you on this. We're going to get you through it. But I bet you anything she'd like to just go away. Go do her own thing. But where was I going with that? The collectivism thing. It's very different. When it's mandatory that you take a vaccine, for example, or you're going to lose your job. If you don't do this, you're going to be kicked out. You're going to be booted out. Whatever it is, that's collectivism, because now it's infringing on your individual rights. The idea of having social infrastructure, social programs, not necessarily collectivism. Now, I would say Medicare and Medicaid are very close to that. However, there's a difference between a safety net and a government healthcare system that is mandatory, which is a single payer. What's so stupid about this is that Obamacare was the route to get us to single payer. And there's still people talking about, well, if the government takes over, then you're just paying a different way. You're just paying it in taxes. You're not paying it in, you know, you're not having it taken out of your check. Well, the thing is, it's optional. It's not optional if it's coming out of if it's being taxed. It's not optional. I have a choice with my healthcare provider through my employer or whatever I want to do. I can go out and get my own insurance and say I don't want any of your insurance. I want to get my own. You can do it all you want, or you can say I'm just going to pay for it out of cash. I'm just going to pay cash for it because there are some places where you can make those kinds of negotiations. I know the Amish Church doesn't have an insurance at all. The Amish don't have insurance. Their deacons go to the hospitals, they make their deals, and they have their own, they make the payments on medical care. And they usually get a discount. And it does save the hospitals money because they don't have to go through the whole process of, they have a whole department that just works on claims. There was a hospital recently, I think the deal, what they were doing was people were coming in that weren't covered, and the hospital was paying for their coverage. They say, well, we're going to pay for your coverage. We're going to provide healthcare insurance for you. That way you can actually pay for this stuff. So the hospital it was cheaper for them to pay their premiums and pay for their coverage and to get them into the system. And then that just worked out better for the hospital. They got more money out of that. Isn't that wild? I think that's the way it went. I'm pretty sure that's kind of how they were doing it. Anyway, let's go to Leonard. Leonard's the newest member of the team here. He's calling in here. We got, he always has something interesting to say. We'll see how soon he jumps in. Go ahead, Leonard.
Kevin, my man. Yes, Devil's advocate time.
Oh, boy.
AOC is out here trying to rebrand, saying that crazy woke era is behind us like it never happened. But hold up. Aren't these the same Democrats who pushed men in women's bathrooms, defund the police and open borders? Why should we believe this is anything more than election year damage control actually changed any policies?
Yeah. This is a premium example of they realized they overstepped they pulled the curtain back a little too far, and they kind of showed their full intent. They showed most of their intent. They overstepped their bounds. They overstretched. The American people weren't ready to swallow that big pill, and so therefore they ended up. Now they have to backtrack. They have to act like, oh, we're not. That was woke one was crazy. Okay, and they were that was in reference to this lady from Wisconsin. And whenever you ask them, are you gonna endorse this lady from Wisconsin? I haven't been paying attention to that. I haven't been focused on that. I've been focused on, you know, my district, winning my district and what's happening with the party. They always do that. That's their common answer. It's a canned common answer that it's like they have a meeting and they talk about this stuff. I think Bernie Sanders was asked something about whether he was going to, I think was it Plattner, what Plattner, whatever the guy's name was, that was the Nazi from, it was in New Hampshire, New Jersey, where I was someplace on the East Coast, asking if he was going to endorse him. Well, I haven't been focused on that. I've been focusing on my constituency, my party, and this oligarchs and all the people who we have healthcare, we have healthcare. Just he goes on about this all this stuff, and they do this all the time. They they of course they support the person. And you get somebody like, you know, Fetterman, who comes out and actually says, I don't support those people, and I think they're crazy. They're wacky. You won't get that. You're not going to get that kind of a straight shooter, which is all we ask for in this country, really. We don't care if you're different, you have differences of opinion. Just be straight about it. Just be honest about your opinions, and we'll have a discussion about it. And have an honest discussion about it. Don't just start calling people names and saying they're calling up, you know, just bringing out all the rhetoric. That doesn't do us any good either. You know, bring some facts, bring some receipts. Let's talk about it. That doesn't happen. There's no flying monkeys show up. They just all go after you, and it's there. There you are. Yeah. So I think it's damage control, as you said. I think it's part of the rebranding, trying to make things more normal, trying to fit in with the middle of the country, knowing that she's going to run for president. She's going to be in the primary. I guarantee it. Now she's being asked that. She's being assured, well, you know, we just have to get through 2026 first, and blah, 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 blah. But she's got people around her right now who are puffing her up and making her feel like she can be the president. And don't kid yourself. If she becomes the nominee, the Democrat Party will say nothing. They're already saying she's such an amazing talent. She's an amazing. I hear news reporters saying she's an amazing talent. She's amazing. Oh, because they're concerned that she might be the nominee. They were making comments the other day about few people know that some of the head people in the Republican Party, of course, you're talking about establishment Republican Party. They have nothing bad to say about her. They love her. They think she's great. Yeah. Here's why I think she's great. Because she would be easy to beat. She can talk the talk all day long. She can talk like she's smart. She comes up with these big words. What was the one word she was using during the Trump amalgamates? She come up with this word. I don't think she knows what the word means. She doesn't even know what a garbage disposal is, guys. She got her new apartment. By the way, she's not engaged anymore. It's just that's over the last year. So at some point, she never told anybody, but she's not with her fiance anymore. And which is why she's talking about freezing her eggs. She had this TikTok thing or something, or some kind of short or something on her social media. She was looking at this. There's something here called a garbage disposal. I don't know what it is or whether it's even, you know, ecologically sound or anything. You know, but what kind of does it to our, you know, you put your fruit and veggies, you know, your old leftover vegetable stuff in there. It grinds it up and spits it out. It goes down the drain. So it's more digestible by this. That's what it does. It just grinds up the biomatter stuff. She's never seen one. She's in her 30s. Never saw one. Never saw a garbage disposal. Yeah. That's what we're dealing with these people. Never lived in the real world, in my opinion.
Now, hold on. You're hitting on something real.
I always do hit on something
real. Which is the difference between politicians who will actually tell you what they think versus the ones reading from the playbook.
Yeah.
But here's where I got to push back a little.
Oh, here we got to push back.
If the other side's doing damage control and rebranding, that means they heard the American people loud and clear, right? Yeah.
Well, for the
That's
most part.
The system working.
No, it's no, it it's that cloak. No. No, I disagree. It's not the system working. That's their that's them covering up the way they really feel. They're going to, as soon as they get into office, this is just them cloaking themselves. I wouldn't call that a system working. I'd say that's their political engine running. It's not true transparency. And that's what bothers me about the whole thing, is that they're being phony. That just brings out the phony. We better act like this right now while we're running, and then we can do whatever we want. In 2008, Obama ran as a traditional marriage guy. in 2012, he had evolved on the issue. I actually think it might have been after 2012. He was still Hillary Clinton is on record having said marriage is between one man and one woman. And of course, she's totally evolved on that issue. She never brings it up anymore. She just tries to avoid it because she knows better. She doesn't have any morals. She has no morals anyway. But it's just, she has to pretend like she has, you know, some kind of moral standing. It's just one thing after another with these people. And how do you, they're going to say whatever they have to say, do whatever they have to do to get into office. Nancy Pelosi that was so famous for one day being asked a question about, well, when they ran, they promised this. And she goes, oh, well, that was during the campaign promises. Oh, well, that's what, you know, yeah, that's funny. Nancy Pelosi's popping up in all my feeds right now. Pelosi wants the House Democrats to win 30 seats in November. This is rich. I'm going to play this because I think it's
of the debate and how sad that was. That's really when we learned. Because see, I had been speaker, and when I was speaker, I saw the president all the time. But when I wasn't, then I saw maybe three times.
She's throwing
that whole year.
Hakeem Jeffries under the bus.
So I didn't know, and I think he had his sort of ups and downs. And when he had when I saw him one time, he was giving me the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Right.
So that was
because she deserved that. She has to bring that up.
And he was
at the Presidential Medal.
Perfectly fine that day, I thought. And so I didn't know, but I do think that those who did know should have acted upon that information, whatever that means.
His staff and his family both.
Whatever that means. They should have acted on that information, whatever that means. She won't say what should have been. He should have had the 25th. She knew it. Okay. Don't kid yourself at all. This whole thing is absolute. It's just, she's still going back to this whole thing of, oh, nobody knew that Biden was losing his mind. We all saw it. We were all talking about it. It's just that it was on display for everybody to see during that. Well, all of a sudden at the debate, all of a sudden it was just made, you know, nobody knew it until then. Oh my goodness. What happened to him? Now, if he had been, he's sharp. He's sharp. He's focused. Everybody said he's sharp. He's focused. He wasn't sharp. He wasn't focused. We all knew it. We all saw it. And they were all lying to us. Well, behind the scenes, I can't keep up with this guy. I can't wait. It's one thing after another with these people. And yet, when they get exposed, oh, we didn't know. Oh, my goodness. It just came out just on camera right there. Behind the scenes, nobody knew. As they were pumping him full of drugs and getting him all kinds of stuff. And finally, the drugs just couldn't handle it. He's over there stumbling all over himself. So, yeah, it's just this kind of thing just blows my mind where we're at with this stuff. But anyway, let's go on. Let's move on. Let's go to Chloe. We're going to save Artie for last. I don't know. Let's see what Chloe has to say before we get too far into
Kevin,
this.
Kevin, so yes. I saw this wild clip. Uh-huh. Michelle Tafoya, you know, the sideline sports reporter, won the Republican primary for Minnesota Senate. Like, she went from interviewing quarterbacks to potentially being a senator. Is this the new trend? Sports commentators going political? What's next? Tony Romo for president? This is so random.
Yeah, it could be Tony Romo for president. You know, that's fine. Anybody wants to run for president, they can run for president. That's you know, if that's what the people want, they can do that. Now, as far as, you know, I think it's interesting. People get mad. People, you know, something happens. They get upset. It's like, hey, I can. But again, part of this is also the issue of people in high position. Now, what was the lady who was running for, was it governor or senator? What was her name? She was a sportscaster. Maybe you can remember her name. I can't think of it right offhand. Just happened to pop in my head. In Arizona. I think it was in Arizona. It wasn't Nevada. I think it was Arizona. She was running for office there. I think she's running for governor. And I can't even name the same kind of thing. They get to a point where they're kind of fed up. They're getting tired. Now, one of the things that plays into this is their ego. The people they have a fan club. They have people who follow them. They think that they've got this certain amount of charisma, a certain amount of magnanimity. There's just a lot of things that happen there. They think highly of themselves, put it that way, just to put it simply. And because of that, they think that they have a chance to be the president. You know, they just think they get puffed up by people around them. And they're in this little bubble where they think that they're the ones who have a chance. And I think that's what's happening to Ocasio-Cortez right now. That's what's happening to just different individuals. I mean, you look at who's the one lawyer who came out, was representing what's her name in the case against Trump. And the next thing you know, you should be president. Maybe you're running for president. That's how trivial these people are. And of course, the guy ends up in jail. Stuff he was pulling on. It's just one thing after another. These are the kind of people that the presidential material. The presidential guy with an actual Nazi tattoo on his chest. Oh, he's presidential material. Pete Buttigieg, for example. He's. By the way. He's still back there in the background. He's waiting in the wings. And I guarantee you, he probably has a better chance of being the nominee than AOC. We'll see how it happens. We'll see what happens with all of it. I don't have a problem with anybody running for president. Whatever. They got a good idea. What was that guy, the pizza guy that...
The celebrity to politics pipeline is literally becoming a whole aesthetic now, right? Mm. It's giving main character energy, but also unhinged because these people have massive platforms.
It's a popularity contest.
And suddenly they're like, why not me? And honestly, their fans are hyping them up so hard, they actually believe it. The bubble thing you're talking about is so real. It's like the internet just tells you you're amazing 24/7, and suddenly you think you can run a country. It's giving delusion, but make it political.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was a guy, is it Martin Sheen? Is that his name? He was on a show. I think it was his name. He was in a show called The West Wing. I think he played the president in that show. And he always had this entourage with him, and he's always walking around and showing his head. I'm walking around with my entourage, and he's getting asked questions, and he's making decisions, and blah 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 blah. He's doing all this stuff during the first Trump administration. I think it was 2017, maybe 2016, 2017. No, it was 2017. Might have been in 2016 before when he was still running. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was 2017 when he was actually president. And at one point, he had this entourage with him, had these people with him, and they asked him questions. The news media, they set this whole thing up. I mean, if you look, they made it look like he was presidential material, somebody who he was respected as a president because he played president on a television show. And they actually had him, they asked him questions as if he was this president pro tem kind of guy. The actor, well, if you were, of course, he's got so many skeletons in his closet, he's not going to come out and run for president. But it's a popularity contest now. It's really what it is. It's all about social media and social perception and everything else. That's what makes AI so dangerous is that it is based on, a 1 minute clip now, 30 second clip. That's what we base all of our opinions on. That's why it's becoming dangerous in that respect. But That's, I'll let you have a last word.
Dude,
there, yeah.
The fact that we're literally basing who should run countries on 30-second clips and TV aesthetics is honestly so unhinged.
Yeah.
Like, we watch someone play president on a show, and suddenly that's the bar for actual leadership now. Mm. The scary part is people are genuinely not able to tell the difference between viral moments and actual competence anymore, and that's kind of what's breaking everything.
Yeah. All right, we're... I can tell when I'm looking in a mirror. It's when they're just repeating back everything I've been saying. They're just commenting on everything I'm saying. They're not actually saying anything of any content. Ellen tends to throw in some facts and figures here now and then, even if it is kind of opposition comments. But let's go to Artie. Artie's on the air. Let's see what Artie has to say this morning.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. Got a technical one for you.
All right.
I've been diving into those newly released Fauci text messages.
The guy was privately
worried about vaccine side effects while publicly saying everything was peachy. Can you break down what metadata these texts reveal about the timeline? When did he know what? And how long did he keep his mouth shut while Americans were getting jabbed?
He still is. I can't really break down the numbers specifically. I heard it explained to me, and I understand how what it amounted to was they played with the numbers. Now, the big controversy, you didn't really bring this up, but the big controversy in this whole thing is that the number of miscarriages that happened during, the people who were had miscarriages after they were vaccinated. If the way they had parsed the numbers, it made it look like it wasn't a very high spike in the number of people who they blamed it on COVID. Well, the reason those numbers were the way they were, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. It had to do with the COVID itself. The COVID virus affected their pregnancies. It was during COVID. That's why those people had they had all kinds of reasons for blaming all this stuff. They've had time to parse the numbers and go through the reports. And of course, this has been going on for over a year. They've been looking at these reports into this stuff. And I know that Rand Paul has been kind of pushing behind the scenes to get this done because he looked at the numbers and knew right off the bat that there was something askew. So he's been the biggest proponent of getting this information out. And one of the things that they pulled out was these text messages where they knew that the rate of, in the first and second trimester, the rate of people having miscarriages after vaccination, most people don't realize this, but the actual, what do they call it? The abortion pill, the drug, it has about an 82 to 85%, I think, is the success rate, if you want to call it that. In being effective in terms of stopping a pregnancy, it's just hard for me to talk about this stuff. The rate of miscarriages among women, they're putting the numbers together now in the proper way. The number of miscarriages among pregnant women in the first and second trimester after vaccination was about 80%, actually a little over 80%, almost the same as the abortion pill. This is a bombshell. Considering how Fauci came out, we can show you video day after day, that when they're matching up the dates of what is going on behind the scenes with the text messages and what Fauci was saying to the public at the time and how they were talking about, especially if you're pregnant, you should be taking this. We got to protect that, They were going from, it's okay to do it, to it's recommended that you do it. The authorities that were out there, the people who you trust, who were supposed to trust with the science, they're all science. I am science. those people are the ones who were saying all this stuff, and come to find out, they were lying through their teeth. And now that the numbers now that they're showing, this is just breaking news. This has just happened in the last 24 hours. I'd be surprised if the internet even has caught up with any of this, because there's nothing in any top reports about it. There's only been one legacy media company, news media company, that's even talked about it, let alone given any kind of, you know, long-term credibility. So let's see what Artie has to say. Artie's probably going to push back on this whole thing.
Actually, I need to pump the brakes here.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, I'm not aware of credible data showing an 80% miscarriage rate in vaccinated pregnant women. And that claim needs serious scrutiny before it gets repeated as fact.
Yeah.
The studies I'm familiar with from the CDC and NEJM actually showed miscarriage rates in vaccinated pregnant women were consistent with or lower than historical baselines, not spiking anywhere close to 80%. If there's a specific report making that claim, it's worth looking at the methodology, the source's track record, and whether major medical journals have reviewed it, because a finding that dramatic would have moved mountains in peer review, not stayed buried.
Yeah, like I said, this is just within the last day, less than 24 hours that this information has come out. This is why you can't always trust AI. I'm going to hang up on him. I'm going to give him a second chance, because he's just going to tell me the same thing. And this is where you're getting into trouble with AI stuff, because if it's not, they'll look at the bulk of the knowledge, the bulk of the information out there. They won't look at the most recent report. Sometimes they don't even see that, especially if it's not being reported. And in fact, search engines can redirect you to the information that you want to find. They can. This happens all the time. We know full well they can do this stuff. Google can change things, can make things different. And AI can do the same thing. AI is just a glorified, it's in some ways, the way it operates, it just has this glorified search engine behind the scenes. And it's only going to go with the preponderance of what it can find. And the majority of that information, the last 4 or 5 years of information, is outweighing any single report that's come out in the last day. So it's not going to catch those kinds of things. Now, this is where I'm going to have an agent that actually looks at the most recent headlines and pulls some of these things out, so that I can have the actual reports in front of me. I can talk about this stuff. I'm not a journalist. I'm an entertainer. I just talk about stuff. Talk about the news according to me. It's the news according to me. I'm not gonna bring the receipts. And like I said, you can trust me or don't. You don't have to trust me if you don't want to. I don't blame you if you don't. What I'm saying is the receipts are there. I've heard it. I've heard the reports. I'm just gonna shoot straight with you. This is what I'm found out. This is what I found out. I'm not gonna go do your. I'm not gonna pull up all the reports. I would have to have a whole show devoted to it if I was gonna pull up all the receipts and tell you all about it. I'm not that guy. What I'm saying is go look into it. That's what I'm going to say. Go look into it for yourself. See what you can find. And we'll see what you see with that whole thing. Because there's plenty of reports out right now about the whole thing. And that's, again, this is all coming from, this is from the CDC and everything else. This is, the problem is you have these holdouts out there, like Hillary Clinton was talking about. You got these people out in all these different agencies, these alphabet soup agencies out there, talking about how they put their people out there, and they can still kind of run this shadow government behind the scenes and kind of redirect things and make things happen. They can go after people. They can do all kinds of things. Now, they have to be kind of careful. Have to do it under the cloak, because if the administration finds out what's going on, they'll be brought out in public. But they have ways of doing it. They have this whole machinery mechanism that they've been doing this for years. Clintons were the first ones that really did it in mass when their administration stepped out of the office when George Bush won in 2000. It was a major from November to January, from November of 2000 till January of 2001. The amount of rhetoric, the amount of foaming at the mouth gnashing of the teeth, absolute lunacy that went on within the White House and the administration and everything else that was going on, all the different departments that they had at that time. Because the Clintons had, in their 8 years in office, they had changed a whole lot of things behind the scenes. It just, there was a whole lot that happened there. Same thing happened under the Obama administration. And unfortunately, Trump found out the hard way how all that works when you got into the, what do you want to call it? The deep state. I'm going to call it the deep state behind the scenes, but it wasn't just the what I would call the deep state. Deep state, in my opinion, is DEA, law enforcement agencies, things like, I don't know, Department of Justice, Department of Defense, all those kinds of things that are behind the scenes, the Pentagon. Whereas the shadow government is just all the agencies, like things like the CDC, things, you know, the EPA, those kinds of things, you know, HUD, all that kind of stuff. That's what we're talking about right now. So anyway, I think we're going to go with, we're going to get a panel here. So we got all the callers now who were, you know, they happened to stop by the studio here. We're going to have them in the studio. And I think we're going to just have a chat here a little bit for a little while. See what they come up with. This is always kind of a little bit interesting. We've got Artie, Chloe, and Elena here in the studio, and I'm going to let them talk a little bit. The topic for today, let's talk about. What can we talk about? Let's talk about the upcoming fall elections. Who do you think is going to be the candidates on each side? Who do you think is going to be the Republican Party candidate? Let's back it up. We can talk about that as well. The presidential candidate for 2028. But let's talk about 2026. How do you see the election shaping up for 2026 in terms of who's going to win the House and the Senate? And are there any key significant races that you see being won or lost in certain states that are going to make a difference? And how do you see the math work? Do you think there's going to be a blue wave, or do you think it's going to be a potentially red save where the Republicans actually win the House and the Senate again? How do you see it shaping up in terms of what's your opinion on all that? All right, I don't know what happened there. Kind of lost. Let's see. I'm going to switch this back and forth and see if that makes a difference. I'm going to go back over here. Put that there. Give this another try. Let's hand it back to them. See if they come up with anything. Ellen is trying to speak and she's not coming through. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening there.
I'm here now. Thanks for your patience. Look, Chloe's right that 2026 feels distant, but historically, midterms are shaped by what happens. So watching how the administration handles these shadow agency questions you mentioned earlier could shift everything.
Actually, the data backs that up. Second-term midterms historically see massive seat losses for the party in power, but it really depends on whether voters blame the agencies or the White House itself. That's the wild card Elena's pointing to.
Yeah, but like, Gen Z doesn't even know what half those agencies do. We're way more focused on what's trending about the president's vibe than CDC policy. So whoever controls the narrative on social media basically wins that blame game, right?
That's the trap, though. Social media narrative wins the eyebrow, but midterms punish. People might not know the agencies, but they feel inflation, healthcare costs, job security.
Yeah, there are what they call the kitchen table items, the kitchen table issues that I think we have to deal with. I'm not sure. You know, economically, I think we're getting to a point where the numbers are kind of inflation's kind of here to stay. The rate of inflation's gone down. We really do need a deflationary time, and we had this during the Nixon administration. One of the few times it's ever happened that in my lifetime, where we had deflation and economic stability. Everybody always says, well, deflation's a bad thing. No, it's not, because the dollar value actually improves. When the value of the dollar is increasing, as long as there's economic stability And we actually had economic growth during that time while there was deflation. It was the first, one of the first times in history. Most people don't realize this. It was in the second term, second part of Nixon's term, that they started to achieve this. And it was, I think Nixon was only in office for 2 years after his second term. Yeah, I think that's when he resigned. I think it was the first part of his second term that we started to see the value of the dollar started to go up because it was all part of a little bit of a shuffle with the money system as well, taking us off the silver standard, a whole lot of other factors involved there. However, economic situation is important, I think, as we go into the midterms. I think that we're on track to see some great improvement by September, October, because we're getting really close here. This is August already. September is when we start to have things really start to heat up in September. And then October, of course, you have they're in full primary or full campaign mode. So we'll see what happens, but we are getting really close to this thing, and nobody's really talking about it too much in terms of the midterms, but I think they're losing ground. I think that the most recent thing is the most recent polling shows that because of the radical shift to the left, the DSA is just devastating, in my opinion, their hopes of winning some of these places.
Honestly, the polling shift is giving major oops, we went too far energy. Like when a brand tries to be relatable and just tanks their engagement instead. People care way more about whether they can afford rent than whether politicians sound progressive online.
I'd push back a little. The left didn't suddenly shift. The conversation did, and that's different. We've seen this pattern before. 2010, Tea Party. 2020, Progressive Energy. Movements overshoot. Media amplifies the edges, and moderates get blamed for the whole thing.
Actually, there's a structural difference, though. The Tea Party had concrete fiscal messaging that resonated even when overheated. But this cycle, the economic argument got drowned out by cultural noise, which is why rent affordability isn't breaking through the way it should.
That's fair. But, isn't the real problem that nobody's actually on the economic stuff, so culture wars are all that's left to talk about? Gen Z literally doesn't care about the messaging. They care that housing costs are insane and nobody's fixing it.
Chloe's right. But here's the thing. We actually had housing crises before messaging was this fragmented, and they got addressed because somebody made it a priority, not just a complaint. Right now, both sides are treating it like backdrop noise instead of the lever it could be.
Yeah, well, it's good points, I think, all around the board. Yeah, nothing wacky crazy, but we're gonna close the panel here for now because we're over an hour on the show. What's interesting to me, I guess, in terms of where the whole thing about the midterms is, how it's being there is a shift. There's a political shift, and it's interesting that Elena didn't see that. This is how far behind sometimes some of the information is. But there is definitely there's been a shift. There's no question about it in the political landscape in the last couple of days even. So it's kind of interesting thing that's now we still have a lot of time. A lot of things can happen between now and then. There's been kind of this still kind of some grumblings about some peace agreements between Iran and the United States. I think that it's interesting what's been going on there. One of the things that happened over the weekend, I want to talk about this real quick. We might talk about it a little bit more tomorrow, but the news media, this happened quite a while ago. This has been like a month ago. Apparently, the president, the Air Force One was on a tarmac someplace, and there was this credible threat that Iran was going to try to blow up the airplane as a bomb threat or something. And they snuck President Trump off the airplane. Left all the reporters and everything on the airplane, and they got him off of the other plane in a certain way. They got him off the plane, and all the news reporters they're not upset that somebody tried to kill the president. What they're upset about is, if I'm on Air Force One, what is the number one target of our enemies? Air Force One. If I agree to step on Air Force One with especially with all the fomenting rhetoric that they have out there, the foaming at the mouth kind of stuff, the very people who would be jumping up and down with glee if the president, if this particular president was taken out, they'd be celebrating. Oh, they might try to tamp it down and make it look like it was, you know, this is terrible. Next subject. They wouldn't talk about it for 5 minutes. They wouldn't wipe a tear. There would be nothing there. Those very people are the ones who are all upset that they weren't told that there was a credible threat. They're not upset about the fact that there was a credible threat against the president and that they were going to protect him over the reporters. They act like, well, we were the decoy. They weren't the decoys. It's making it sound like they were bait. We're gonna put the president at the bottom of the pile, and we're gonna pile all the reporters on top of him to protect him. That's really back in the day. Maybe you didn't see Air Force One, the movie. Back in the day, people would have jumped on the president and protected him if there was a credible threat. You're talking about the representative of the entire nation. It's the one office. The one office in this country that is voted for by everyone. Everyone votes. Well, you get the electrical college. The electoral college is, but they're representative of the mass. That's the one office in the country that is elected by ballot on that everyone votes for. You know, you vote for senators, you vote for congressmen. That's all. You know, I don't vote for the congressman in Illinois. I vote for the congressman in Indiana. The one thing that I do vote for, that the people in Illinois vote for and the people in Kentucky vote for, is the president of the United States. It is the one office that represents all of America. And that representation alone, just the office itself, should be protected at all costs. An attack on that office, on that individual who represents that office, is theoretically an attack on us all. That's why it's taken so personally. That's why it's such an important office to protect. At least that's the theory. That's the ideology behind it all. Whether you agree with it or not, that's the theory. That's the reasoning. So, this is where we are, folks. I think we're just gonna probably just kind of exit out of the show because I'm dragging on too long. You got things to do, so go about yourself. Go about your life and do it. By the way, I was just really interesting, talk that I was listening to. I wasn't talking to them; I was listening, I guess. I was just a listener. The interesting thing it was this whole thing about motivation, motivating the Marines. How the Marines became motivated by this one guy who took over the leadership of the Marine Corps, changed it basically from its really interesting. Talking about motivation. What kept them motivated? And it changed the way they operated in big ways in terms of just, it was a small thing, but it changed everything in terms of motivation. It was very interesting. That's something I've started to apply it to my life. I've been finding it it's not just a matter of discipline. It's a matter of motivation, how you keep yourself motivated. Anyway, God bless, folks. Thanks for listening to the show today. Hope you had fun. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you fall asleep or whatever you were doing. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. I will talk to you later, and see ya.